little town of Bethlehem, as still we see lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Well, if the Victorians over-sentimentalized Christmas in the 19th century, the baby boomers have rather trivialized Christmas in the 20th. Naive romanticism has led to cynical commercialism. So tonight I want us to explore the dark side of Christmas. I want us to discover the raw, the authentic, the genuine, real Christmas, if that's possible, under three headings. Bethlehem then, Bethlehem now, and Bethlehem here tonight. First of all, Bethlehem then. John chapter 1 verse 9. The true light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Christmas story begins in darkness, pitch darkness. Darkness comes in various forms. There was the darkness of occupation. The Roman occupation of Palestine was ruthless, unforgiving. The Israelites were terrorized into submission. They were a defeated nation. Palestine was occupied territory. Traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, even on the orders of the occupying power, as Mary and Joseph did, would have been a long and a dangerous journey, especially for a pregnant woman. Along all the main roads, for mile after mile after mile, were crosses on which hang the bodies of those who have resisted the occupation. A warning to us. There were roadblocks, checkpoints, spies, rebels, and bandits. The darkness of occupation. And there was the darkness of exploitation. The Roman occupation was maintained by ruthless discipline and overwhelming force. The Romans were not prompted by altruism. The conquest led to the exploitation of the conquered. The developments which they fostered in agriculture, in mining, their grand irrigation schemes, their impressive new cities, their seaports, their aqueducts, their roads and their fortresses, were prompted by one single, all-consuming goal: to maximize the revenue from their empire. Heavy taxes were laid upon the Israelites, huge levies on agricultural produce to feed Rome's appetite. There was forced conscription of men to serve as slaves, seamen, soldiers, farmers, ruthlessly enforced. The people of Judea paid dearly for their own colonization. Indeed, it was the despised Roman taxation system which brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem that first Christmas night. The census declared by Caesar Augustus was intended to identify the value of his assets in Palestine, increase the revenue in his empire. Darkness of occupation led to the darkness of exploitation, led to the darkness of disillusionment. That was why there was an ever-increasing number who felt that violence and not prayer was the most effective path of resistance. the rise of the Zealots, the resistance movement of freedom fighters. There were the Sipparai, the dagger men, who were determined to liberate Palestine from occupation by violence. They assassinated fellow Jews who collaborated with Rome. And that first Christmas night, the mood in Bethlehem was one of despair, violence, and resignation. There was darkness. The darkness of occupation, exploitation, and disillusionment. That was the Christmas, first Christmas in Bethlehem. But what about now? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I wish we could indeed visit Bethlehem tonight and enter the Church of the Nativity, where we believe the Lord Jesus was born. If you want to watch it live on your smartphone or your computer as you get home, you can. But as a substitute, I invite you to visit St. James's Church in Piccadilly. Over the next 12 days, if you're going up to London to the theatre or the sales, which probably start on Boxing Day, take a few minutes and visit St. James's Piccadilly. For 12 days of Christmas, you can experience Bethlehem unwrapped. You won't find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, but you will be able to see the 8-meter-high separation wall that now surrounds Bethlehem and turns it into a prison. It sounds crass to say it, but if Mary and Joseph were traveling tonight to Bethlehem, they would not have made it to the end. Checkpoints, roadblocks, and barriers forbid Israeli citizens from going into Bethlehem and prohibit Palestinians leaving Bethlehem. Bethlehem unwrapped goes behind the romanticized Christmas card images of the ancient city and shows what life is really like in Bethlehem today. It celebrates the stories and the culture of those who live behind the wall. With humor, with hope and humanity, there is a range of renowned musicians and composers and comedians and chefs and poets and singers participating each night. Nigel Kennedy, Reem Kalani, comedians Mark Steele and Jeremy Hardy. I commend to you Bethlehem Unwrapped. Christmas in Bethlehem then, Christmas in Bethlehem now, but what of Christmas in Virginia Water here? How are we to celebrate Christmas here, now, tonight? How in the darkness that is just as pervasive today as it was on the first Christmas, as it is in Bethlehem? Now, we may not suffer the darkness of occupation, that was 1,000 years ago under the Normans, or exploitation, but there is around us the darkness of spiritual ignorance. There is the darkness of moral blindness, and there is the darkness of malevolent evil. The darkness is real, but because of Christmas, it will never get so dark that we cannot see the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the darkness, God sent a light. And as an experiment on your way home tonight, notice that the darkness does not intrude into the light. The light invades the darkness, whether it's from the torch, your car headlights, or your cell phone. The forces of light are stronger than the forces of darkness. So what is the message of Christmas for us tonight. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Light divides. It cuts through the darkness. And there are three profound truths that we can learn from these verses tonight. And the first is that some will reject the light of Christ. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Does this verse burden you? The presence of evil, of oppression and injustice in our world will not end tonight, however much we pray for peace on earth. Because this is the verdict, says John. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. And until Christ returns, our calling is to bring light into those parts of the world consumed with darkness. Our message to those who reject Jesus, who cause the darkness and suffering, is one of warning. God holds you accountable. The arc of history bends toward justice, and we worship a God of justice who holds us accountable for our actions. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Some will reject the light, but some will receive the light, receive the living Christ. Yet to all who did receive him, John says, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Does this verse assure you? Do you know that you are a child of God? God is your Father. Heaven is your home. If not, then be sure tonight. The Son of God we celebrate was born this night so that you might be born again this night. Repent of your sin. Turn away from the darkness. Receive him as your Lord and your Savior and have the assurance that you are a child of God. If you're not sure, then join our Christianity Explored course, which starts in January. There are details at the back and in the seat in front of you. Some will reject the light of Christ, they face judgment. Some receive the living Christ, become children of God. And some will rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. John says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Does this verse excite you? If you are a follower of Christ, it will. Because this night of all nights, we will sing of the glory of God. The light shines in the darkness. The light divides the darkness. The light dispels the darkness. Which of those three responses is true for you? Are you rejecting the light? Have you received the light? Are you rejoicing in the light of Christ? If so, then you have no fear of the darkness. In Jesus Christ, we found a light that overcomes death, a love that conquers hate, a truth that prevails against falsehood, and a light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness has never and will never overcome it. And the people said,
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, light shines in the darkness and light divides. Light dispels the darkness. And please show us tonight whether we are rejecting that light, receiving that light, rejoicing in that light. But come into our hearts afresh tonight. Be our Lord and our Saviour, so that we can truly worship you and go to sleep tonight with peace in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.